Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Helen Merrill, one of the truly great jazz singers, and she's a woman I've known and admired since her first major recording in December 1954. The depth of emotion Helen conveys and her unusual sense of timing and intimate sound are an integral part of Helen, who sings straight from the heart. And I really mean that. How are you, Helen?
Oh, I'm fine, Marion. Thank you very much for having me today. I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
When I think how long I've had the show and so many times, I'm thinking we've got to get Helen over here. But you're busy. You're either in Japan or
France.
Europe.
Yes, I move about.
You move about. You keep moving, and you've made a wonderful recording. Now, is that for Blue Note, the new record?
No, that's Verve. That's actually, it's not Verve. It's Verve in this country, but it's Polydor France, Polydor Jazz France.
Okay.
But they're all interrelated.
It's just a wonderful record.
Thank you.
And it's all about, it's dedicated to Clifford Brown, who you recorded with in 1954. Why did you decide to sort of redo this album or do a new?
Well, I wanted to do something for Clifford for many, many years. And my reason is, first of all, I loved him. I loved his playing very much. And his death was such a great shock to the jazz community. It's something that we never quite believed. I did a memorial service for Clifford with Max Roach in 1991, I guess it was. 1990, I'm not sure. And it was the anniversary of Clifford's death. It was 35th year, I'm not sure. And at that moment, I thought, well, this is it. Now I surely know that Clifford is gone, and I have to do something for him. Prior to that, there was, and Max, too, was very, very emotional, and he, too, I think, decided at that point that Clifford was definitely not going to return except via records. Now, I had the idea that it is our obligation as musicians to keep people alive.
And, absolutely.
Yes. And so I was not content that only musicians knew Clifford. I thought that I had an obligation to continue this lovely man's music. And that's why I did it.
Well, it turned out to be a great record. And of course, what I loved was the fact that you did some of the tunes from the first record that he did with you. And I had that and love it, as you know. But before we talk any more about it, I would love to hear you do one of those songs, which was on the first record in 1954 and again on the new one. And this one is
You'd Be So Nice to Come Home To.
Wonderful.
Okay.
So nice to come home to. You'd be so nice by the fire while the breeze on high sang a lullaby. You'd be all that I could desire. Under stars chilled by the winter, under an August moon shining above, you'd be oh so nice, paradise to come home to.
You know, I loved playing that because I remember the arrangement. In fact, I remember most of the arrangements.
Quincy Jones scratched out the morning of the date.
Oh, he did?
Yes. Yes, he stayed up all night actually writing the arrangements for the date. And I think this one he did write on the date.
Well, of course, you had a new bunch of people on this record. And I mean, it was such an interesting idea to have four trumpet players. Roy Hargrove.
Yes, Wallace Roney, Tom Harrell, and Lou Soloff.
Oh, what a terrific group.
Yes.
And you did one tune of your own. You did it. Oh, Clifford. Clifford, and you did
Your Eyes. It was a tune that Clifford had written for his wife, LaRue. And it's a beautiful ballad that was just sitting somewhere. And I just wrote some lyrics actually for LaRue. which she liked a lot, except she told me she cried, which means she liked it. That's okay.
Well, you know, you've had so much wonderful stuff on records. I'd love to be able to mention them all. And the thing I like about you, and I always have, is you've always picked bands, haven't you?
Pretty much, yeah. When I haven't, it's been always a very big mistake. And on occasion, I've done that with a couple of very important records. And I'm just not comfortable unless I feel the musicians are going to be there for me all the time. I'm just not comfortable. And
well, that's important with your kind of singing because it's not cut and dried from the music. I mean, everything is kind of emotionally maybe derived from what you hear on the bass player play or what you might hear a piano. In fact, I'm stepping very carefully here today because...
Yeah. No, musically, I depend upon, as I said, very fine musicians. And there is a great amount of sophistication that's maybe not obvious to the listener, but certainly is to the musicians I'm playing with.
Sophistication, yeah, well, I guess you could call
musical,
it that.
No, musical. I guess that's not a good word.
Well, there's so many words, but you know what would be better than talking about it would be if you'd sing another tune.
Uh-oh.
This would really be nice.
All right.
I have to mention this. This was the tune that when I first heard you, I hadn't met you or anything, and Jimmy and I were driving along and heard you sing What's New, and I'm saying, who's that? And we even pulled over to the side of the road, and then the first minute I could, I bought that record, which incidentally was called What's New, I think, wasn't it?
I think it was just called Helen Merrill. Well,
I remember the picture, on the cover,
and
I
2 weeks.
But it was an interesting shot. But it made you look so sort of tigerish and bitchy.
Yeah,
and I remember thinking to myself, she must be really something. And then when I finally met you in Cleveland at Moshe's place.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, yes, it's a theatrical grill.
Grill. And here comes this sweet young, charming young thing.
Yeah. And keeping all of it inside and the facade outside.
Well,
anyway. Masks.
Anyway, that's the longest introduction to this song.
Yes.
But let's do it. What's new?
Okay.
Okay.
What's new? How is the world treating you? You haven't changed a bit, handsome as ever, I must admit. What's new? How did that romance come through? We haven't met.
Of course, I think What's New is one of the best tunes in the whole world, but I also think that your version of it is one of the greatest I've ever heard. And so does the guy that wrote it, Bob Haggart.
Thank you very much.
Actually, I think I sent the record to Bob Haggart. Like, there's so many...
Yes, you told me that.
And
that shocked me that he didn't know that existed.
No, and this is quite a few years.
Yes,
that he didn't know.
Just collected all those royalties and...
Anyway, naturally, then I was hooked after that album. And then I think we were friendly by that time. And you told me about the new record that you were making. And I was at the Hickory House with them. Bill Crow and Joe Morello, and actually you had Joe Morello on the date, the big
That's
band
right.
with the arrangements by Gil Evans, and I came to the date, and he was practically writing some of them at the last minute.
But yeah, he probably was, but you know, Gil is a very, very I had to fight to get Gil on that day.
You what?
I had to fight to have them use Gil with
really?
Me. Really? Oh, it's really an enormous battle, yes. I
why? Why was that?
Because Gil was notoriously slow, and he'd rehearse in the studio, and studio time was very costly, especially with all those musicians sitting there. And Bob Shadd was absolutely against this. Now, I didn't realize that Gil knew about this, but many years later when I did another album with Gil, this was about 5 years ago, he came to my house and he said, you know, Helen, I never forgot that you fought for me for that date. So it was well worth it.
Well, it was also well worth it.
It was costly because that's when Clifford died, you know.
Yeah.
And they stopped the date and it became a very, very expensive date, actually.
But that was one of the greatest things I've ever heard you do because I, of course, I can't do it, but you had this arrangement of...
Oh, yes, that one.
Yeah. I can only think of Don't Throw Bouquets at Me.
And people will say...
But people will say we're in love. And yeah. The intro was so complicated, and you had to sort of come in like on an offbeat or in between. And I sat there with my mouth open listening to the whole date. I'll never forget that. It was really a very exciting record date for me.
And that became the story of my life. And since then, every musician tries to lay traps for me that they've been trying to play for years, and I somehow get through them and have developed a very keen sense of hearing.
Well, you just have an incredible sense of time, and then some of the things which we'll talk about later you did with Dick Katz.
Oh, yeah.
Arrangements. I mean, it's amazing, but for me, I'm just going to try to just not do anything to hang you up, although if I did, you probably would sail right through it. And this is a tune from that album, which is my request, or one of them, tune by Cy Oliver, Dream of You.
Oh, without
that tune.
Oscar Pettiford was on that date. And, I mean, we didn't use earphones or things like that so much in those days. You know, we were in the same room and we just played. And Oscar was grinning from ear to ear, and I just absolutely could not... Oh, we did use earphones, come to think of it. And I felt like I was singing particularly to Oscar, and he was laughing, and I remember having a very great time with this tune.
Yeah, because it was sort of a bass.
That's right.
Just a bass accompaniment.
That's right.
Now, maybe you want me to do that. Maybe I should try and do that on piano, just play a bass line.
Well.
I only thought of it this minute. I could try it.
Try it.
See what happens.
How it goes.
Okay. If we fail, we'll do it again.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
Gee, but I'm blue and so lonely, I don't know what to do but dream of you. Just dream of you. Dreams don't come true, still I can't keep from dreaming dreams of you. That's all I do, just dream of you. There once was a time when I called you mine.
To hear the full broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online. You'll find a link on our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. This episode was made possible by a grant from Exxon Corporation. Digital restoration was made possible by Save America's Treasures through a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service, Department of the Interior.